I'm honored and humbled to appear before you today as a nominee for Associate Justice of the Supreme Court. I thank the President for entrusting me with this profound responsibility, as well as for the graciousness that he and the First Lady have shown my family throughout this process.
Hello, fellow law nerds. Welcome to a special reaction episode of Boom Lawyered, a Rewired News Group podcast hosted by the legal journalism team that doesn't have creepy white men making weird comments about their fertility in a Senate confirmation hearing. Jess, just how fertile do you think Amy Coney Barrett is? And why does it matter so much to these weirdos?
Oh, they care so much about her fertility.
I just feel like if you're trying to get her nominated to the bench based on how brilliant and smart and beloved by the faculty at Notre Dame and the students of Notre Dame, maybe stop commenting on her crotch fruit.
Nah!
I'm just saying. I'm Imani Gandhi.
Crotch fruit. And I'm Jess Piclo. Rewired News Group is dedicated to empowering you to own your relationship to sex, abortion, parenthood, and power. And the Team Legal podcast is part of that mission. So a big thanks to our subscribers and a welcome to our new listeners. Excuse me while I pull it together from crotch fruit.
So today marks the first day of the confirmation hearings of one Amy Coney Barrett, or as I like to call her, Justice Kingdom of God. And it's almost 2 years to the day that we were covering Brad McBeer's histrionic hearing performance. Ugh. And I have to say, it was a little bit weird watching all of these white men, primarily white men, shouting about all of this random shit while Amy Coney Barrett sat there basically still and silent with her mask on.
Yeah.
And like, I know the mask was for COVID safety, but the image was really unsettling nonetheless. I don't know. That was my first impression. What were your first impressions?
What the fuck are we doing here was my first impression. Like, we're in the middle of a pandemic, right? A respiratory viral infection that is spread indoors principally, and we had the Senate Judiciary Committee crowded with over 50 folks kind of doing some social distancing. You know, Mike Lee strolled on in COVID positive and like shouting, spraying COVID everywhere.
Wait, I mean, can we just talk about for a minute the fact that Senator Mike Lee apparently has COVID, although he sent a letter from his doctor that may be walking that back. I don't know who this doctor is that they all have that's basically telling them, yeah, you have it, but it's fine. You're not contagious. Since when did that become the rule?
Dr. Oz. I think they all go to Dr. Oz.
Or Dr. Phil. Like, I don't know what is happening. So he walks in COVID positive, which in and of itself is weird, and then proceeds to just shout into the microphone, just aerosol spittle all over the goddamn place. Most of these people are old as hell. Dianne Feinstein and Chuck Grassley could keel over literally at any moment. And they're just like spreading the Rona hither and yon throughout the confirmation hearing room. What?
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, so that was my first impression, is what the fuck are we all doing here? And then my second impression is really, what are we all doing here? Like, I get that Republicans are forcing this process, but Democrats have the opportunity to gum up the works a little bit, and I didn't see a lot of that, so.
So you were live tweeting most of this morning while I was just kind of on my Twitter account, just shouting in all caps and basically trolling your live tweet, which is very professional of me, I think.
But nobody ask about Ted Cruz's beard, please.
We don't talk about Ted Cruz's beard.
Not in public.
But I have to say, I am really actually quite furious that Democrats seem to be treating this like it's just any old hearing, right? There are a couple people who showed some flashes of anger, Amy Klobuchar being one. But generally, it's White House did a really good job, I thought, Senator White House. But generally, they were all just kind of like, yeah, well, this kind of sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, Yeah. We're just, I mean, it was a real juxtaposition, right? Because, like, you heard the Democrats today repeat this refrain of none of this is normal. This isn't normal. But then Senator Feinstein, like, opens the hearing and is like, so we're going to have a really lovely confirmation process. Here's how it's going to go. And, like, completely giving legitimacy. And, you know, Democrats have a bully pulpit. That's what they have right now. And I think that, you know, they're trying to make a couple different cases. But one of the cases that they really need to make is that this entire process is illegitimate. And that's because, you know, polling is starting to show that the American public is starting to think that, you know, maybe it's not that big of a deal that these hearings are going on right now. And it's a really big deal. It's a really big deal. They shouldn't be going on. So by even, like, engaging in this process like that, it is doing harm to the cause of democracy in general. And the Democrats need to knock that shit off. Like, that's why they're Republicans.
Yeah. And honestly, it's like Dianne Feinstein, some of these people are just too old. They don't have the I don't mean to sound ageist, but when you've been in this position for as long as you've been, and we are in a crisis right now, and you don't seem to understand that, and you don't seem to be reacting in a way that I am positive a younger person of color would, then it's like, why are you still, like, pushing 90 doing this job and pretending like the job that you're doing isn't actually, as you said, harming democracy? Because Dianne Feinstein, she's harming democracy by lending credibility to these hearings, to this illegitimate process. And that
It just bothers me. You know, they could pull it together. All right. Yeah. So it's only day one. We've got 4 full days to look forward to. Oh, my God. What, Imani, was your most maddening moment of the day? If you had to choose. I mean, there were a couple, but if you really
there
had
were,
to choose.
There were. Well, OK, I couldn't choose, but so I picked 2.
OK.
One, Joe Kennedy complaining that being called racist is, like, one of the most hurtful things that can ever happen to a person in their entire white-ass life. Like, I can, and this is the second time he's done this, and I can't recall when the other time was, and I meant to go look through my Twitter search to see, because I'm sure I commented on it. But it's like, he seems to think that whenever he has a microphone, he needs to explain how hard it is as a white man to be called racist. I remember he actually demanded an apology from someone at whatever last hearing I'm thinking of, but I can't recall, because someone insinuated that something he had said was racist. It's just, Joe, will you can it? First of all, will you can it? Also, you know who else needs to can it? Josh Hawley. My God. If there ever was a self-righteous ding-dong numpty of a person, it is Josh Hawley, who had the nerve to get up and start screaming about how Democrats had been attacking her faith, Amy Coney Barrett's faith, and how other nominees had their faith attacked, particularly by vice presidential candidate Kamala Harris. He made sure to call her out. And how, you know, we are a country of religious faith, and Article 6, which says there should be no religious test for holding public office. I mean, he went on and on and on, as if Democrats had spent the morning attacking Amy Coney Barrett's faith, when not a single Democrat said a word about Amy Coney Barrett's faith.
Yeah.
So they're trying to make a stink out of something that isn't there. They're accusing Democrats of doing something that they're not doing in order to, I think, sort of turn the view away from Amy Coney Barrett's positions and onto her womb, essentially, and her faith.
And I'm just going to react with, like, that face, because it's like, we're going to talk about her birthing so much.
So much. I mean,
and can we also talk about Joe Kennedy having that entirely weird moment when he was saying how the worst possible thing that could happen to somebody is to be a white man and be called a racist, when he was like, meanwhile, the Brett Kavanaugh proceedings was like the cantina scene from Star Wars, and it was chaos and madness, and, like, what?
Also, whose fault was it that it was chaos and madness?
Right.
Was it the person who came in screaming about how much he liked beer? And the person who kept talking about Squiggy and Pee-wee and all of these other weirdos?
Squiggy and Pee-wee.
Do you remember Squiggy? Remember? You gotta pour one out for Squiggy or whatever his name was.
I think
was
it's Squeaky. I'm pretty sure Squiggy is from Laverne and Shirley.
Oh, yeah. Squiggy from Laverne and Shirley. You're right. Squee. It was PJ and Squee or PP and Squee. Like, I don't know what is happening, but all I know is that those hearings were bananas because Brett Kavanaugh made them bananas and because Republicans withheld documents thereby making it bananas. And also because they were all over the media slandering Christine Blasey Ford.
Brett Kavanaugh's opening statement was a red-faced screed about how the Clintons were out to get him.
That's right.
I mean, what in the world? It's been a wild ride these last couple of years, hasn't it, Imani? Oh, my God.
It's been a lot. And here we are 2 years later doing it again. But I want to ask, let's ask like a friendly question.
Oh, okay,
What was the most meaningful, the most moving moment of the day for you?
Okay, so there are a couple. I would say, first of all, I'm going to give Amy Klobuchar some credit here. For I am not an Amy Klobuchar fan. I am on record as not being an Amy Klobuchar fan, long before it was popular not to be an Amy Klobuchar fan, even. So, this is two episodes in a row of Mea Culpas by Jess. Amy Klobuchar did a really great job today driving home the personal impact the mismanagement of the COVID pandemic has had and tying it to the, like, completely illegitimate circus that the Amy Coney Barrett confirmation process is. You know, folks may not remember, but Senator Klobuchar's husband and her father both came down with COVID. Her husband was on a ventilator for a week and was very seriously ill. And you could hear the anger in her voice. It was the first time, and I know that that's a loaded topic with Amy Klobuchar, right, who has some issues, but it was the first time that, like, palpable anger from the Democrats in a moment when we need some palpable anger. So that, I thought, was really good and driving that home. And then there was a second moment that, again, a Democratic woman, and this is Senator Hirono. So she's undergoing cancer treatment for kidney cancer. She found out she had cancer during the Neil Gorsuch hearings, which is awful. And to think that, you know, Senator Lee just shows up COVID positive, like spewing COVID everywhere. And, you know, Senator Hirono, his colleague, is there in a high risk category, you know. So she, at the very, after talking and doing her thing that Senator Hirono does very effectively, which is make the personal political case for healthcare and expanding civil rights and all of those things that she does very eloquently. You know, Senator Graham, at the close of the her time, said, you know, I just want to make sure, and, you know, we wish you well and hope your health is good. And she just said to him, do the right thing, you know, and it made Senator Graham feel very awkward. And he kind of backtracked and said, oh, we're praying for you. But it's like, it's that moment where you know, you're addressing your colleague. Right? This isn't just political grandstanding. This is someone who you work with for years and years and years, sometimes even congenially. And here they are for a power grab, letting you know very clearly to your face that your life does not matter. And I thought that that was very poignant. And it was just a split second that, you know, in a lot of just opening statements today could have gotten missed.
It's just...
So, you know, I mean, we talked a lot about healthcare. Democrats talked a lot about healthcare today. Do you think that that accomplished anything, Imani? Like, was that good?
Well, it certainly made the sentient hare nest in the White House upset.
Like, oh, boy.
Donald Trump tweeted something like, the GOP is going to protect pre-existing conditions. And then he wrote, get the word out, which
get
I thought was
out.
Pretty funny. Like, he needs a town crier. Hear ye, hear ye. Despite all indications to the contrary, the GOP promises via Twitter, not legislation or anything that means a fuck, that they're going to protect pre-existing conditions. I mean, it's just, it's ludicrous. And so it shows that I think Republicans know that they could get hammered on healthcare. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's why they keep talking about her faith, right? Because if there's one thing that they can count on is that religious people are going to be like, leave my faith alone. Even though I have to say, you know, you made this point a couple podcasts ago.
But that's a countryism that you've adopted and I love it.
I'm going alt country. I got it. Urban country. It's going to be like a new thing. But, you know, you mentioned that we're currently living under a Muslim ban. So when people like Josh Hawley, as I talked about, are screaming about how we have to have respect for people's faith, let's see you put Ilhan Omar in that room and let's see you talk about how much respect you have for people's faith while we are denying entry of Muslim people into this country. It's just hypocritical. So I don't know. I think that it's good to keep hammering the healthcare because that's something that pretty much every person in this country cares about.
Yeah.
And if the fact that the GOP doesn't have a plan, Donald Trump doesn't have a plan. His plan was to sign an executive order that literally has zero effect. It's like when you were a kid and you couldn't remember couldn't figure out what to get your parents for their birthday or their anniversary, so you made those coupons. You know what I mean? It's like
I have coupons for my kids.
Exactly. Like, give me this coupon and I'll go clean my room. Like, you're supposed to clean your room anyway. Why are you? You're not giving me a gift here. So this idea that he's going to write some executive order in crayon giving people pre-existing condition coverage, even though where is it going to come from? It's just asinine. It's just asinine. So I think that the best bet is to hammer. You know, I know our issues are healthcare, and I know you and I believe that abortion, and yep, everyone listening believes that abortion is healthcare, motherfuckers. But there are a lot of people who are sort of on the edge of that question, but they all probably know someone with COVID, either mm-hmm. who has died or who has it or who's going to be a long hauler and needs healthcare. And these are people who are going to be denied health insurance because they have a pre-existing condition that the guy who promises he's going to fix actually caused by failing to warn the country there was a plague coming. So,
yeah.
You know, I think that's what they got to keep hammering on, I think.
And I know political memories are short and you and I are both old as dirt, but there was a time when, you know, medical bankruptcies dominated the political conversation before the Affordable mm-hmm. Care Act. Where getting the Affordable Care Act passed was such a like momentous legislative feat, not because it's this big, like unwieldy piece of legislation, but because it was really the culmination of a decade worth of advocating. And, you know, Republicans, and I think Democrats, you know, really were driving this point home in the hearing, are hoping the Supreme Court does what they have not been able to do in over 10 years, and that's repeal the bill. And so you're going to hear a lot of talk from conservatives about the Supreme Court being some super legislative body that, you know, it's not designed to sort of act out as a lawmaking body, but that is exactly what they're hoping Amy Coney Barrett on the Supreme Court does. If it didn't yeah. matter to them, this hearing wouldn't be happening as quickly as it is. Yes, it's about the election, but it's about those November 10th oral arguments. They want yeah. her hearing that case so that she's a reliable vote and drags Roberts along with her.
Yeah, and what's really frustrating is to watch them pretend like that's not the case, right? Yeah. Like, you see John Cornyn up there pretending like there is some other reason that they're rushing this through, pretending as if the people who are criticizing Republicans for trying to repeal this healthcare bill are somehow out of pocket. Because how can you possibly think that Amy Coney Barrett wants to take away healthcare from people? She has 7 children. She knows the importance of healthcare. What the fuck does that have to do with anything?
Right.
Like, they're using her fertility as some sort of Pokemon against claims, rightful claims that she wants to repeal the bill based on her own words. She has said that she doesn't think the ACA should have been passed. So the fact that she burst 5 children out of her happy area doesn't really make a difference. And it's irritating to watch them try to make that case.
And it's Cornyn's state of Texas that is leading the charge in attacking right. the Affordable Care Act. So for right. Senator Cornyn and Senator Cruz to be like, we love health care. It's, yeah. I mean, look, we know that they're hypocrites, but this is like a whole new level up from conservatives in this process.
Yeah. It's, and they're really going to keep lying and pretending that they have a plan, even though they absolutely
no
do
plan.
Not. And they've spent 10 years and however 35 votes to repeal. It's just, it's asinine. All
yeah,
of it is
their
asinine.
Plan is so to blame here, Democrats for the fact that Republicans don't have a plan.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And then talk about socialist health care. Great. So today was predictably irritating. What's going to happen tomorrow? And do I care about it? And do I have to pay attention? I mean, I know I have to pay attention because.
So I'll take those questions in reverse.
Okay. Yes. Thank you. Please.
You have
please,
to pay please. Attention to it. Yes, you care. This is a 4-day circus. Today was the sort of like opening ceremonies of it. Tomorrow and Wednesday is when the real nuts and bolts happen. That's when the senators get the opportunity to question Amy Coney Barrett. It goes in rounds of 30 minutes and then 20 minutes. So it's going to be a long 2 days. Expect them to ask her about her rulings from the Seventh Circuit on abortion rights cases, on gun rights cases, some immigration rights cases. I mean, you know, she's only been on the bench for 3 years. So that's all that they have to go for in terms of judicial opinions. We'll probably get into her writing, that like 2-page ad that surfaced that she signed that basically called Roe versus Wade an abomination. I hope we talk about that a little bit. And I really hope some of the senators hit on things like, you know, I mean, everybody knows she's against Roe versus Wade, right? Like this is like, so what? We need to talk about what this means for like birth control, for example, right? What this means for IVF, because, you know, what this means for adoption rights. Amy Coney Barrett is an adoptive parent and she may be on the bench in time to hear a case that would restrict the parenting rights for LGBTQ families. We need to talk about that. Is she going to recuse herself?
I was just going to say, and non-Christian families. So it's not even LGBTQ absolutely. People. It's Jewish people, Muslim people. Talk about we respect faith. Do we really? Or do we just respect the one?
Yeah, precisely. So that's what's going to happen over the next 2 days. So yes, we care. And yes, you got to pay attention.
All right. Well, if I have to pay attention tomorrow, then we have to end this podcast now because I need to go start drinking.
That's fair.
Immediately. And I just feel like that's just something that's going to have to happen. But we thank you for tuning in. We will be back tomorrow with another reaction to tomorrow's festivities. If you would like to talk to us about any of this stuff, you can follow me at Angry Black Lady. You can follow Jess at Hegemommy, H-E-G-E-M-O-M-M-Y. And you can follow Rewire News Group at Rewire News Group. You should if you're following me, then you should be following Rewire News Group.
Seriously.
I just feel like that's just, come on, people. You can join our Facebook group. Just answer the question. Just say something that lets us know that you're not some anti-choice ding-dong. We would love to have you, but we don't want the ding-dongs because not the good kind of like the cake ones. These are actual people who are ding-dongs and it's no bueno. And also, if you really like what we're doing, if you like the fact that we're going to be here for 4 days just breaking all this shit down, you should give us money.
Yeah.
Money. And if you want to do that, you can donate at rewirenewsgroup.com/boomgive. That's rewirenewsgroup.com/BOOMGIVE. Jess, what have I missed? I've missed something.
Let's see. Talked about the hearings. Talked about what happened next. Talked about donate. Where we'll see him. We're going to see him.
On the tubes.
Folks, see you on the tubes.
Boom Lawyered is created and hosted by Jessica Mason Piglow and Imani Gandhi. Mark Folletti produces the show.